Good morning to all of you. Good to see you again. And today is a special day. It's Valentine's Day. But I'm not going to speak on Valentine. I'm going to speak on the divine love instead of the Lord Jesus Christ so expressed to us. Now, this morning, we are going to speak on Chinese New Year of the Horse. 2 days more, we will have Chinese New Year. And then, well, the horses will be trotting in. I'm not going to ask anyone here who is a horse, because there are some who may be embarrassed to show how old he or she is. So I'll just be quiet. You know yourself whether you are a horse or not. All right. What is this China New Year of the Horse? Some of you may be wondering, if you are here for the first time, what is this person talking about, the Year of the Horse? What is it all about? Now, I have been speaking on the Year of the Horse for a number of years already. The year, Chinese New Year of the Horse falls on 17 February. That is 2 more days, to be exact. And it will last 1 year to 5th of February, 2027, next year. So those of you who are born during this period will be horses or mares. Now, what is this, the Year of the Horse? I think I'm the only one, perhaps in the world, who studies from the Bible the year of an animal every single year. I don't think you have ever heard a sermon on the Year of the Horse or the Year of the Pig or the Year of the Tiger from anywhere. And yet, I've spoken on this topic of the Year of the Animals since 1983, when I started the Year of the Pig. And that will be 43 years ago. And every single year, I'll be speaking on this subject of Chinese New Year, of that particular animal that has crept into our calendar. If you are interested, you can always find all these studies. I call them studies, they are not devotional talks, studies, Bible studies on these animals in my website, which I will let you have later on. Right. As an introduction, this Year of the Horse is a repeat. It first started in 1990. And then, of course, every 12 years, like 2022, 2014, and this year, 2026, we have the Year of the Horse again, every period of 12 years. Now, what is the significance of the horse year? Let's just go a little bit on it, because I need a lot of time today for our study into the horse as we find in history. The horse plays a very important part, a very important role in the history of man. The Mongols, for example, used horses a lot in their livelihood, in their warfare with their enemies and so on. They were riders, they were champions on horses. And they would attack all their neighboring countries, and especially China. And now you will know why you have today the Great Wall of China, because the Mongols would be attacking China. And to prevent them from attacking China, they built the Great Wall of China. Imagine that. Apart from China, we also have Alexander the Great. He was the one who brought down the downfall of the Babylonians. So all these great empire builders relied most greatly on horses. Horses to them were strength. That was Alexander the Great, bringing down the Babylonians because of their ability to ride on horses and to fight with horses, and of course chariots. Now, where do I get this horse? Now, this horse is taken from the zodiac. In the zodiac consideration, the constellation, the circuit of the sun is divided into 12 sections, and they are all named after animals. And the year, I've gone back one slide. Never mind. Actually, the year of the horse would begin with the year where the seventh ranked animal in the year of the rock, in the year of the zodiac. Then she went to that bit too. Never mind. Anyway, just to tell you, the animal of the horse is the seventh in the zodiac sign, beginning from the red, the first one, and down the zodiac circuit of animals that we have, 12 animals altogether. Right. That's because of time, I need to go into the study of this animal, of this animal, the horse, immediately. Because there's so much to study of the horse in the Bible. And the first thing I want to pass on to you is, be not like the horse. Though a horse is speedy, Psalm 22, verse 9, say the horse is speedy. And it is used of a people quick to do their own thing. For example, Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6, we read, everyone turn to his course as the horse rushes to battle. So the horse is famous for its speed. Now, it refers to us. When we do things speedily, without consulting God, without considering his will, then we'll be like horses. And as we are going to learn, do not be like a horse. Do not be speedy. Wait upon the Lord. The people that the Lord was against was because they refused to obey God's word. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 7, 21 to 23, we read, but this thing commanded I them, saying, they hear, obey my voice, and they refused to obey God's voice. They were like horses. God said, obey my voice. And we do not obey God's voice as we read God's word day by day. Then we are like horses. In this year of the horse, let us be careful of that. Let's go on. They refuse to walk in God's ways. B. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. They refuse to walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. See, God wanted them to have the wellness, the prosperity of his blessing. But they refused to obey. And when they refused to obey God's ways and God's word, they would not be able to be well with God, prosper. So you want to be well with God, as we wish each other and Chinese New Year Day, prosperous New Year. And that word prosperous has to do with wellness. But this thing commanded them, that saying, obey my voice and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. It may be well. What do we understand by that? Well, I said earlier, God intends each one of us in this Christian life to prosper, to be well. And it means figuratively to be happy, to be successful, to be right, to be well, that it may be well with you, but they hearken not. In this year of the horse, let us therefore be well, as the Lord wishes us to be well with him. The youth of a people not quickened to the signs of the times. We live in momentous days today. We can look at the signs around us, prophetical signs of things that were prophesied in the past many years when the scriptures were written, to now we see some of these happening in our lives, before our very eyes. When we see these signs, how do we react? Do we get quickened, get conscious of what is coming on, or we just ignore these signs? Look at the people at that time when this warning was given. Youth of a people not quickened to the signs of the times. Jeremiah 8:16. The horses are coming. It says there in Jeremiah 8:16, the snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. God warns Israel, look, the snorting of the horses come. The sound's there. Be careful. Take care. Obey. Repent. But what did they do? They refused. The horses are coming. You can hear the very snorting of the horses. And yet, they do not pay heed. What was the warning about? God says, the Babylonians. Look at the Babylonians. Over there. They will go to the north, and they will come down. The horses are coming from the north. God warned. They refused to listen. And as a result, Babylonians came and took them captivity for 70 years. They refused the warning of the horses. Now, that was in the past. It showed the reality of the fulfillment of prophecy and God's word. God said, look, the Babylonians are coming. Take heed. Repent. But they refused. The result was that the Babylonians came and they were taken captives for 70 years. Today, what is happening? Do we still hear the snorting of the horses? Of course, Babylon was past history now. But what are the dangers that we face today? Are the horses snorting? Revelation 6-8. We hear the horses are coming. And John, 90 AD, saw the revelation. And what did he see? And I beheld a white horse. What does a white horse mean? Now, we must be people who should be quickened to the signs. At that time, John also already saw the warning. Today, the warning is as real as ever. And you look around you today, and you see that these warnings that occurred 90 AD or so, now are being fulfilled. And what are these warnings? A white horse is coming. What does that speak of? Let us read the verse. It says, he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. This is a tremendous conquest. A warfare without weapons. No bow. I hear called a bow, but no arrows. And yet, that man on the horse could conquer and conquer and conquer. A crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Do we see here people crying out, peace, we want peace, we want peace. And that's a key word today, peace. is keyword is peace the keyword to a peaceful world again? We shall see. So the man on the white horse came. A bow with no arrow. No need to fight. Peace. This danger is at our doorstep. We see this. People crying out for peace. No weapons, and yet they conquer, and they conquer, and they conquer. A white horse of peace is coming in perfect conquest, in peaceful conquest. We look at the conditions of the world today. Countries are conquering one another, in certain cases without even weapons. By using peaceful conferences, they confront one another and they take over. It is what we call the people's coronation. Peace is the word. And at one time, we find that people went around with peace on their t-shirts. Peace, peace. Is that a key to a peaceful world? It's gone. We saw another horse. Another horse. And this horse, this time, was red. What does that mean now? A red horse with a sword. And power was given to him that set up upon to make peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. First, it was peace. A bow with an arrow. Now, it's a sword. Fighting, killing, and yet still saying peace to all. And blood is shed. And today we see this condition also coming on. So these are signs. Signs that we are nearing the end of the age. For when John saw these horses coming, he was given, the times are at hand. Take care. The red horse, what does it signify? Bloody power of is coming. Power to take away peace. Power to kill people. We don't have to go far. In the Middle East, lately, the last few years, we find bloodshed. We find innocent people being killed. We find innocent people being taken over as hostages. We find a lot of these people suffering, innocent children, women, ladies, pregnant women, wives, all suffering under the very cruelty of men. Yeah, the bow without the arrow is taken away. In its place, the sword has come, and the sword is shed a lot of blood. Okay, is that not enough? Oh, you people, be quickened to the signs of the horses that are coming. The white horse has come. The red horse has come. And we have seen the evidence of these horses. What else can come? Black horse. A black horse is coming, the third one that John saw in Revelation. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, a denarius for a measure of wheat, for 3 measures of wheat. He had a balance. Balance to weigh. To weigh. Inflation has set in. It's got money, but cannot buy much. Do we see this today? Are we taking heed to the signs, the oncoming signs that Christ is coming soon? Because when you see these horses coming in, a greater conqueror on another horse will come in to conquer these horses. But these horses are omens, signs that we need to pay heed. And what does this mean? The black horse is poverty, and famine is coming. still famished with a day's wage, with no leftover. Today, our people, our young men are complaining. Yes, they have the wage. Yes, they have the salary. The salary is needed to pay for their living expenses, to pay for all their transport expenses. But have they left over? No. No left over. Some of you young professionals here find yourselves in this predicament. The horse is coming, the black horse. And as a result, starvation and famine. In a rich country, even in the Middle East, you find starvation present. Starvation present in our present generation, where there is so much prosperity, so-called. Behold a pale horse. What does it mean? And its significance. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Powers was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. We just have to know and to read what happened a few months ago in the Middle East and see how the children had suffered, how the women had suffered, had been ravished and raped and so on. This to be expected in our century, 21st century, yet this was prophesied years ago. And this is happening now. And it's coming to pass that all these things will be fulfilled. The pale horse, what does it mean? Pestilence. When there is prosperity, there is famine. People from battles, hunger, and plagues. People die from beasts. And pestilence, death, and perdition follow. Verses chapter 6, verse 8 of Revelation. So you see these things happening, not at that time, but this was already prophesied that it would happen now. And therefore the time is come, then we must be quickened to the horses that are coming. Be not like the horse, we are considered that. Although a horse is speedy, what else do need we consider? It's used of a people quick to do their own thing, use of a people not quickened to the signs of the times. Thirdly, use of God's people who must be quick to know the times and the seasons. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 16. My people know the judgments of the land. For now, it is high time to awake. We need to be careful now. We are living in momentous times. Can you ever imagine what we are experiencing today was prophesied in Old Testament times, thousands of years ago, that it could happen? Can we imagine that there will be a time one day when in our exchange with people, in our commerce, in our business with people, we do not use any more money, we use numbers, we use digits to work out. And that the Bible says that there will come a time when you cannot use the number 666, you cannot do any commerce. The time is coming. That was prophesied in times when there was no possibility and no imagination can ever bring about that such a thing could happen, could occur. And yet, it's occurring now. Is the Bible true? If the Bible is true concerning those things, the Bible will be true concerning other things regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. The rise up to the times. Therefore, we must rise up and face the times and the seasons. We are nearing the last days. We have got to be careful. Romans 13 and 11, we read, therefore, we must redeem the time, for the days are coming when time is very short, and then Christ will come. So we cannot be building a lot of wealth to expect us to live here long time, because when we see these things happening, the signs are there for us to wake up. Right. Believe not in horses, though the horses are strong. Speedy, now we know that they are strong. Psalm 20 is a very tremendous psalm. Great psalm. You go home and study. Negatively, our strength will fail without God. 33:17 says, and horse is a vain thing for safety. What does it mean? In other words, don't trust on things you think are materialistic, strong, and safe for you to hang on. Because they will go one day. They will go. Be it found in horses, because there are many. Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to those who rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, and they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. We are going to spend some time here, because this is good advice for us to listen to. Be it found in horses, because they are many. Be it found in chariots and their multitude. Do not trust in horses. Don't trust in chariots. Don't just build up your wealth and your property, because one day you're not going to take them away. They will be destroyed. They will go. Trust in the name of the Lord. The horsemen and the mighty will go. Without God, they will fail miserably. God. Now, I said earlier, we must not trust in horses and chariots. We must not trust in horses, there are many, and in chariots, because there is a multitude. If we just trust them for our salvation, we will get nowhere. God has his own horses and chariots. When the Syrians attack Elisha and the camp, they surrounded the whole camp with horses and chariots, and his Elisha's servant came along. Oh, woe be Titus, what are we going to do? Look at all the horses, look at all the chariots, they're all around us. And Elisha prayed, God, open his eyes that he may see. And God opened his eyes, and he saw chariots and horses surrounding the whole camp. God has his own horses. God has his own chariots. But they are not the chariots of men. They are not the horses of men. You can read all that in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. All right. We have already touched on negatively, our strength will fail without God. Positively, our strength should focus onto God. Let us be able now, as we live these days of most uncertainty, let us focus on God. Focus more on the spiritual things rather than on the material things. Not material props, chariots. Let us not build chariots, although there are many, and although they seem to us to be strong and show a property of wealth. Do not trust them. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Not in natural powers, your ability to do things, your power, your mental ability, your intellectual ability, and so on. All these are good, but they should not be the main trust. Your main trust should be upon the Lord and in the name of God. In God's supernatural and powerful name, remember his name. Do not trust in horses. Do not trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let his name be the watchword for us this Chinese New Year as we launch in. One more year facing us, and we do not know whether we shall see the end of that year. Now, I have come to this age when I'm not sure whether I can see the end of the year or not. So, the time is coming when you will face the same situation. You are not sure. I cannot imagine 30 years ago I could live to this age to see things happening now. I do not know. Maybe 10 more years I will not be here, or 10 more days I will not be here. But whatever it is, let us not trust in chariots and horses, but let us trust in the name of the Lord. Remember his name when the path before us is dark. His name is our deliverance. Psalm 27. Psalm 20 is a great psalm. Go home and read it for us all. When the path is hard, his name is ever defense. We'll trust in the Lord and his name. 21. When the path is good, his name is our delight. We will rejoice in God's name. Rejoice in God in times of prosperity. 25. Rely on God in times of adversity. 27. Remember God for time and eternity. Remember God. We need to trust the name of God. Unfortunately, these days, young people abuse the name of God. And we see this, and we detect this in internet. How often we often read, "Oh my gosh! Oh my God!" That is using the name of God in vain. Christians should not use such kind of phrases. "Oh my God! Oh my gosh!" to soften the vanity of that name. But, and then others, in order to try to cover their vanity and insanity, they use ONG. Now, let's not run away from all that. This is trying to deny the vain name of God. We have to trust in the name of God. Christians should not be using, "Oh my gosh, oh my God, OMG. These are words that are not right with considering the name of God. Because we need to love the name of God, we need to respect and revere the name of God. But unfortunately, people are just following those other people who do not want the name of God, and they use these other phrases to cover up their way of thinking and disregard for God. So let us not follow. Okay, name of God, very important, because it helps us to defend us, it helps us to defeat temptations, it helps us to give us delight when it comes to our life on earth. Right. We have considered negatively, our strength will fail without God. Positively, our strength shall focus on God. And affirmatively, let our strength be in faith, trusting God. Psalm 147, 10 and 11. He delighteth me in the strength of horses. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. God's strength is superior to any might. Hosea 1:7 has this to say to remind us. I will save them by the Lord, by the Lord, their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. God's spirit is supreme over any might. Not by might, not by power, but by spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So this is what we need to depend on. More of the spirit power in us. And that's why the spirit has been given to indwell us, in order that we may be able to win the victory that is facing us. All right. It is not by might, it is not by strength, it is not by the multitude of horses. Not by power, the might of horses, but by my spirit, says the mighty Lord of hosts. So remember this verse. It is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. We need the spirit's help to give us the victory that we need in facing the signs of the times that we are living in today. We are finished. Be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Next point we are going to consider, behave not like the horse. Behave not like the horse. Because a horse is still is stubborn. Psalm 32, verse 9. Be ye not like the horse, or like the mule, that have no understanding. A horse, like the mule, that has no understanding, is stubborn. And therefore, we read, it needs to be whipped for control, for it will become, otherwise it will become headstrong. Proverbs 26, verse 3. A whip for the horse, says that verse in Proverbs. It needs to be whipped. Sometimes we need to be whipped because we become headstrong. We want to go our way and we want to go where the Lord has prohibited us to go. We want to go, and the result is we have gone out of the way. So we must not be like the stubborn horse. Be under the master's direction. Psalm 32, verse 8. Be under the father's discipline. A father's love is shown to the son when he chastens the son. And so we learn that a horse needs a bridle and a bit. Needs a bridle and a bit. The bit is that metal that is put into the horse's mouth for the rider to turn it left or right to stop it. We need that bit and bridle. It says there, be ye not like the horse that have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come unto thee, that they come near unto thee, and not under your control. So we need that bit and bridle at times for the Lord to discipline us so that we do not go astray, that we are brought back to where he wants us to go. So there is the horse, and there is the bridle and the bit. They need to be there. Sometimes hardships can come to our lives, but these hardships are to control us, that we go in the way that the Lord wants us to control any weeping and little sin that has come to our life. Sometimes the sin may be small, but the small bit of sin can be troublesome to the whole body. And therefore, we need that bridle, that bit, to control that little bit in our lives, that it may be used of the Lord bodily for him and for his glory. All right, we have finished. It needs the whip for control. It needs the bit and bridle for constraint. And it needs the hook for compulsion. The horses are coming. Come, get them ready. Run. No, the horses are coming. The hooks are there to pull them away. That's what stated in Ezekiel 38, verse 4. I will bring the horses forth in the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day of the great tribulation, when there will be great tribulation coming upon Israel. And we see the signs of that even now at this time. From all over the earth, the people will be coming. The armies of the north to the valley of Hamagog, Ezekiel. The day is coming. It's not yet. This is future. It's a future prophecy. It's coming when we find Israel will be the center of the gathering, and we find if they will, the countries will be gathered firstly in the valley of multitude of God in Ezekiel. Now this is Israel. This is Israel. All right, and you see Hamagog somewhere here. Yes. The countries will be gathered here. Then, later on, all kings, neutral or otherwise, to the valley of Armageddon. there. Note, we see these things coming to pass. Countries being gathered in around Israel in that area. Armageddon. Armageddon. All nations in the valley of Jehoshaphat will be gathered together against Israel in Joel 3:2. Jehoshaphat, Gog and Magog, Armageddon, all will be gathered against Israel, and Israel will be under tremendous threat. We see this happening now. And remember, these prophecies were written years ago, hundreds of years ago, before we could ever even imagine that these things could ever come to pass. And yet, we find Israel, such a small country, is surrounded by all the big countries in these places listed. The horses are coming. Are we taking heed? I shall bring the horses forth, for the day of the Lord is a great day of tribulation, great tribulation. It will come soon, and from all over the earth, this is a gathering not around the Middle East, but whole earth will be involved. North, south, east, west, all will be involved, and all be centered in Israel. The day of the Lord, when locusts shaped like horses, we read in Revelation 9, will be released, and then we'll go up and play havoc with the nations of the world. These locusts, they have the faces of horses, and they will come out, and they will threaten the world, and Israel especially. Locusts are the appearance of horses, and from heaven, that's from the bottomless pit. And from heaven, horses will come also. Where are the horses coming from? Who are they? We find these horses, Revelation 19, 11 to 16, the horses that will be the appearance of the faithful and true on a white horse. The faithful and true is the Lord Jesus Christ, riding on a white horse, and all the armies of the horses behind him, coming down from heaven to rescue Israel, when attacked by all these armies from the earth and from the bottomless pit. The armies of saints following on white horses. Jesus Christ coming down. All the others, we who have been raptured, who are now in heaven, now will come together with the Lord Jesus Christ to save this people, Israel, from disaster, from destruction. They will come. Summarize. Be not like the horse, though a horse is speedy. Be not like the horse, though the horse is strong. Be not like the horse, though the horse is stubborn. Three words for us to remember. Don't be like a horse, because a horse is speedy, therefore you think that it can do things fast. Because a horse is strong, therefore it's great to do, help you do things. Because a horse is stubborn, it can be very disobedient. Take care. In conclusion, as I finish the study of the horse, the year of the horse, be always remembering the Lord of hosts, Psalm 20 again. The New Year benediction for all of us. 2 days' time is the Chinese New Year, and I wish you this. Psalm 20, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. These are the blessings that I would like to pass on to you as I end my study. Remember all the offerings, except thy burnt sacrifices, Selah. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy command. That was the New Year benediction. Now the New Year banner, the banner, the flag by which we should go out. Don't hang the banner upside down. You'll get into trouble. Hang the banner right side up. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banner. The Lord will fulfill all thy petitions. That is my blessing to you. I'm hanging the banner right side up for you to follow and go after. Yes, the New Year benediction given to you, the New Year banner given to you, now the New Year belief. What should be the faith that will trust us out for this New Year, Chinese New Year? What will be the faith? Now know I, the Lord, saveth his among his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. There is spiritual confidence. I will do it. First and foremost, after all this you have heard, you yourself have to make the decision. I will follow. And then together with all the others who say, I will follow, we will follow. May the banner of the Lord lead us forth, that we may be victors over the circumstances that come to our lives. So my wife and I wish you all a blessed, fruitful, bountiful Chinese New Year and prosperous New Year. Now, I use the word prosperous. Normally, I don't like to use the word prosperous because it will be in line with the Chinese people giving you prosperous prosperity and so on. I don't wish you this kind of prosperity. The prosperity I wish you is this. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For there thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have the good success. Again, Psalm 1:3, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. This is the prosperity I wish all of you, that you have a prosperous Chinese New Year, but not the prosperity that you often see in your Chinese New Year greeting. Wishing you a prosperous Chinese New Year. I don't wish you this prosperity. This is the prosperity of horses and chariots. I wish you prosperity from the Lord himself. Let me finish with a line. Just a little poem. The horses are coming. They seem to bring news of good tidings. Peace, peace, the beginning. But it will not be till the ending. Before, believe not in horses, neither in your own skill and past successes. Let your faith be steadfast in God, no matter what the outcome. Cling to him with whatsoever you have got. Do not be between two opinions tossed. One cannot serve two masters. He will either love the one or hate the other. So fix your choice in God. Do not be stubborn. Trust him, whatever your lot. Do not depend on your speed. Keep pace with the Lord. That's what you need. Not depend on your steed. That is to stay. That's to say, do not trust your strong deeds or strive to be free from God's bridle and bit. For under God's control, you can be sure in this year of the horse, for you will be a good year. So in keeping with this year's theme, my brethren, let us awake, for now it is high time to do whatever he has put in your mind, be it something small or something big. Now is the time to do it. This New Year, this Chinese New Year of the horse. And I wish you this opportunity to wish all of you God's prosperity and a blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. God bless you. Thank you.